Welcome to another edition of Third World View, your weekly source for news and analysis from around the Third World, right here on community-supported radio, WORT 89.9.
Welcome to the August 29th edition of Third World View. I'm your host, Steve. For tonight's feature, we'll be hearing more from the recent America's Social Forum.
Good evening. My name is Mark Becker, and I am a member of the Third World View Collective. Tonight, I would like to bring you more voices from the America Social Forum that I attended 2 weeks ago in Asunción, Paraguay. The America Social Forum is a hemispheric meeting of social movements opposed to neoliberalism and militarism. It is a regional gathering of the World Social Forum that first met in Porto Alegre, Brazil, in 2001. Since then, these gatherings of civil society have swept across the world and fundamentally altered power relations. Most recently, the United States Social Forum organized a very successful gathering in Detroit at the end of June. As with almost all social forums, the America Social Forum opened with a massive march through the streets of Asunción. As participants marched, they drummed and chanted slogans such as, "The people united will never be defeated."
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido.
Alerta, alerta, alerta que camina. La recorrida por América Latina.
We marched for 5 kilometers from the site where we would hold our discussions to the seat of government in the center of town. As we arrived at the center, Vidal Acevedo, who works with peace movements in Paraguay, proclaimed to observers over a loudspeaker at the front of the march that, in these 5 days, 5,000 fighters for social justice will show the world that another world is possible, that another America is possible, one without exploitation, one with a more inclusive culture, one that respects the Mother Earth. He ended by proclaiming, "Long live women's struggles." Once we arrived at the center of town, we opened the forum with music and speeches. Paraguayan folk singer Ricardo Flecha sang the famous Latin American protest song Gracias a la Vida in both Paraguay's national language Guarani and then in Spanish.
Gracias a la vida que
1992 Nobel Peace Prize winner Rigoberta Menchú was the keynote speaker for the opening ceremonies. She talked about how the forum brought together many dreams, many struggles, that we were all together in the trenches in a common struggle.
Que reúne mucha combatividad de cada uno de ustedes en cada una de las trincheras que le toca estar.
Over the course of the next 3 days, 8,000 people gathered in more than 30 self-organized workshops to discuss a wide variety of themes. Edgardo Landier teaches at the Central University of Venezuela and is part of the Secretariat of the Hemispheric Council of the Americas Social Forum. After previously meeting in Ecuador, Venezuela, and Guatemala, Landier talks about the importance of the forum coming to Paraguay and the main issues discussed at the forum.
In terms of the fact that the forum was held at all in Paraguay, that's in itself a huge achievement. Paraguayan society and Paraguayan social movements have been, as a consequence of Paraguay's history, quite isolated from struggles and movements and changes in, that have been going on through in the continent for over the last decade or so. And it was very important to be here in Paraguay and connect Paraguayan movements with the networks and struggles and different agendas of the movements in the continent. So that was one thing. Another thing is that obviously the Paraguayan government is a very weak government. It's got all of parliament basically against it, or the judicial branch of government against it. And it's basically a weak government with no sort of solid grassroots or political support in any sense. And the press is completely controlled by the right. So it's very important to sort of contribute to have an opening of alternatives and the legitimacy of the process of change. And this, I think, it will make an important contribution in that sense. In terms of a more broader Latin American perspective, I think there were three main sort of issues that sort of crossed most of the discussions. One has to do with militarization, all the struggles against military bases, and on the agenda that hasn't changed from in U.S. policy. Not only hasn't changed, but with the Obama administration, it's become more intense. I mean, the seven bases in Colombia and the Fourth Fleet, et cetera, are really significant threats for these processes of change in Latin America. And so militarization, military bases, et cetera, and this whole process of criminalization of protests and social movements and this whole ideology of terrorism, et cetera, is an increasingly important issue for social movements or for struggles in the continent. So this was the main issue. A second main issue has to do with the struggle for territories, both indigenous and from an indigenous perspective and from perspective of peasant movements. This process of expansion of the predatory accumulation, which means the expansion of the frontiers of transgenic soja and the monocultivation of trees for both energy and production of pulp for paper, as well as mining in increasingly large scales, as along with the exploitation of energy resources, especially oil, continues to have a very, very significant negative impact in Latin America. In spite of the political changes that have occurred in this continent over the last decade, the dependency on primary exports has increased over the last 10 years. So on a balance, there has been no basic reorientation. This pattern of exploitation of so-called nature and this notions of progress, development, etc. And the third issue connected with this is the climate issue, climate justice. This event is sort of a midway in the process between Cochabamba and Cancun. So there were a lot of articulations, a lot of information, and a lot of planning on the strategy, struggles, agenda, etc., of social movements and the connections between governments that share the Bolivian government's policies in relation to climate change. And, I mean, the whole agenda that was constructed collectively by movements in Cochabamba. And so this is like a stepping stone in that direction. There was a lot of planning sessions and a lot of articulation between movements in terms of the struggles that we'll be carrying out in Cancun, both in terms of the main sort of themes and sort of basic points of the negotiations inside the conference itself, as well as the plans for mobilization outside the conference and the caravans and mobilizations that will be going on from different parts, from Canada downwards, from Central America, etc., convergence towards Cancun. And this has become sort of the main point of articulation of struggles in the world today, obviously.
A main issue at the forum was opposition to militarism and imperialism. Phil McManus, chair of the Task Force for Latin America and the Caribbean at the Fellowship of Reconciliation, explains the importance of the forum in advancing these issues in Paraguay.
I think it's quite a positive to have the social forum here in Paraguay. Paraguay suffers the same sorts of social problems that we see elsewhere in Latin America, in some respects more in more extreme forms, but we tend to hear very little about it. This has certainly helped to raise the visibility of Paraguay and the issues here. And among those issues is militarization, not just in the form of criminalization of social protest, which we're seeing all over the region where peaceful demonstrations are violently repressed, but also in the form foreign military presence. The United States has conducted military exercises here. So Paraguay makes a good place for coming together from around the continent to look at the issue of militarization and specifically foreign military bases in Latin America. And there have been some fruitful meetings here focused on that topic. And we're seeing a very disturbing proliferation of U.S. military presence in Latin America under the Obama administration. Foreign U.S. military presence in places like Costa Rica, the return of the 4th Fleet to the South Atlantic, the return of some military presence of the United States in Panama after the bases were finally removed 10 years ago. Etc. The list goes on. And there's a rising tide of concern within Latin America about this. And one of the manifestations of that concern is a new effort to pull together a continental campaign focused on opposing foreign military presence in Latin America. The social forum served as a space for folks involved in that campaign to come together and talk about next steps and to strengthen that campaign and plan actions for the future. So I think that's something that's worthwhile that hopefully will bear fruit going forward.
Social forums began almost 10 years ago in opposition to neoliberal governments, but now government leaders were openly welcomed to the forum in Paraguay. Presidents José Mujica from Uruguay, Evo Morales from Bolivia, joined Paraguayan President Fernando Lugo at the closing session of the forum. Mujica began with a very short speech in which he argued that there is not only one model for the struggle, but that there are many models because we make up many different peoples, many different religions and ways of thinking, and that we need to learn to live, work, and struggle together.
Creo, compañeros, que no hay un modelo. La lucha es por múltiples modelos, porque hay múltiples pueblos, múltiples razas, múltiples religiones, múltiples maneras de pensar en el confín de la tierra, y que la verdadera lucha es aprender a convivir sin agredir a los demás.
Bolivian President Evo Morales called on people from Paraguay and throughout Latin America to continue their struggle for a profound and democratic revolution.
Y por eso, hermanas y hermanos de Paraguay, de Latinoamérica, de todo el mundo, estamos convencidos que se hace la revolución ahora con conciencia, con el voto, para hacer profundas transformaciones en Latinoamérica y en el mundo. Una revolución democrática.
Paraguayan President Fernando Lugo concluded the America Social Forum by proclaiming that our dreams are becoming a reality, and that his fellow presidents Morales and Mujica are making that a reality. To the wild cheers of the gathered participants, Lugo declared that another world, another America, another Paraguay is possible.
El sueño por el que dieron sus vidas millones de latinoamericanos será una realidad. Gracias de nuevo, compañeros, compañeras, por esta presencia y por esta solidaridad demostrada con el pueblo paraguayo. Gracias, presidente Bolivia, compañero Evo Morales. Gracias, compañero Pepe Mujica, símbolos de esta América Latina de hoy. Otro mundo es posible, otra América es posible, otro Paraguay que soñamos también es posible. Muchas gracias.
Edgardo Landier explains the underlying political transformations that have led to the dramatic change in the warm reception that leftist political leaders now receive at the forum.
When the forum process started in Porto Alegre in 2001, this was a few years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Berlin Wall, etc. And there was in social movements and all sorts of different grassroots organizations, there was a deep distrust of politics in general, parties, and especially governments. This had to do, obviously, with the fact that then we had neoliberal governments in every single country except Cuba in this continent. When the FTAA negotiations were started, there were 34 countries participating. There were 34 neoliberal countries participating in the negotiation. 34 countries that basically agreed with the basic contents of the FTAA as proposed by the United States. So it made a lot of sense for people who have this enormous distrust and to establish this sort of clear separation between the so-called social and the political. But as a consequence, among other things, and I'd say basically as a consequence of the fact that the struggles have advanced to such a significant extent in this continent over the last decade, this has is itself expressed in the political sphere. So this has been this very significant displacement towards sort of more progressive or more leftist governments, which cover a huge part of the South American continent now. So that obviously makes a difference. It also makes a difference the fact that some of the current president, in the case of Evo Morales, for instance, was just another foreign participant. I mean, he's not someone alien from this process, but, I mean, he's part of the forum process, and as a consequence of the struggles in Bolivia and in the forum and in other places and in the struggle against FTAA, etc., I mean, this social movement led to political transformations and for the first indigenous president in the history of Bolivia. So, obviously, the way movements see this government has changed. this doesn't mean, however, that there is a complete agreement between these governments and movements. And I personally think that it's extraordinarily important to keep the autonomy of movements in relation to these governments, even the more sort of radical and more transformative governments, more decolonizing governments, like in the case of Bolivia. Because if we have all the main leadership of the movements co-opted by state structures and sort of start to view the processes from a state perspective, from a government perspective, this will no doubt lead to a weakening of the capacity of movements to further their agendas for change.
This is especially true in relation to issues around development and extractive industries and the monoculture, etc., etc., in which governments feel pressure from society for redistribution, for public policies, for education, health, etc., etc. And so there is a natural and expected tendency to try to get as much surplus as possible from the so-called natural resources in terms of increasing the national budget for these social policies. But at the same time, this continues the basic direction of this exploitative relation with the so-called nature and the, sort of the rest of the way of life, etc. So this is a huge, very complicated struggle. And that's going to continue for quite a while. In the case of Ecuador, there's also the tremendous political problems in the relationships between the government and the indigenous organizations and movements. The current Ecuadorian constitution was only possible as a consequence of this accumulated process of struggle by the indigenous organizations. And now there's an almost complete break between the government and the indigenous organizations, and an incredibly complicated challenge, because it's really not possible to carry on this transformation from a monocultural to a pluricultural, plurinational state if the main subjects of this process are absent politically. So, these sort of tensions are very, very huge issues, but I think this is the sort of thing that is sort of discussed with more naturality. There aren't many taboos anymore in terms of what can be discussed and what can't be discussed in the forum.
Phil McManus from the Fellowship of Reconciliation talks about the restrictions on Lugo to make the necessary changes in Paraguay.
The president of Paraguay, Fernando Lugo, I believe has good intentions in terms of trying to address some of the structural problems in Paraguay, but he's captive of a Congress that is almost totally opposed to him. And they have left him little room to move forward on major issues. So how much will be able to happen during the remaining 2 years of his term remains to be seen. But neither does there seem to be an electoral alternative with enough strength to change that dynamic and allow for the election of a president with a significant support in Congress to really address the issues here. It seems that the Congress continues to be in the hands of the oligarchy that is dead set against any kind of significant change.
McManus points to social movements as the best way to achieve positive changes in society.
What I see as most hopeful and productive in that regard is the construction and strengthening of social movements that create a social force within the society that can begin to effectively articulate the need and pressure for change, and that also in the process can begin to change the public opinion and the perception of the public in general of the problems. You know, in Paraguay, the most intractable problems are in the rural areas. But the seats of power, of course, are in the capital, in Asunción, which has a very significant chunk of the population of the country. And affecting public opinion in Asunción and other urban areas is critical to the long change. I think there again, the social movements over time can develop the capacity to do that.
Finally, Landier talks about the ongoing transformative potential for meeting as part of a social forum process.
I don't know where to go from here, but I don't think that it's really run its course. I think the forum has contributed to a new form of doing politics. If you talk to the local organizing committee in terms of their experience, and how the forum process sort of forced them to work together. People who had never worked together, people who had, for several historical reasons, whatever, personal, whatever, distrust of each other's organizations or in terms of people, etc., and how the pressure of the forum itself sort of forced them to work together in different ways, has created other possibilities of articulation, of understanding how to deal with differences, how to construct unitary campaigns or capacity for mobilization, etc., in spite of the differences. There were significant differences within the organizing committee in Paraguay, for instance, in their perception of the Paraguayan government. Most of the organizations were quite critical of a lot of the policies. Some thought that this meant that you sort of had to break with the government and have no government participation whatsoever in the forum. Others thought that only engaging in dialogue with the government, it was possible to sort of make use of this enormous historical opportunity that's being opened after so many years and years of dictatorships in this country, that this opening is something that has to be sort of dealt with, and it's a great opportunity in spite of the differences, a huge difference and a lot of criticism in terms of anti-terrorist laws and repression of peasant organizations, etc., which are huge issues. I mean, these aren't, or the fact that the expansion of transgenic soja has increased more rapidly during these 2 years than it had ever before. So these are huge issues. But at the same time, it's a democratic opening which offers a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot of things happening in this country. So I think that this example shows how the forum itself can sort of open windows of debate and sort of transform political cultures in very significant ways. And on the other hand, the forum is sort of finding new common themes after what was criticized by a lot of people as a lot of fragmentation. And I think climate justice is sort of becoming sort of a international issue in which the forum is going to play a huge role.
The World Social Forum will once again meet in Dakar, Senegal in February 2011. For the Third World Collective, this is Mark Becker reporting from the America Social Forum in Asunción, Paraguay, South America.
Well, folks, that was our feature from the America Social Forum brought to us by Third World View's Mark Becker.
Third World View is written and produced by a collective of volunteers. We welcome your comments and suggestions. You can also contact us at the station if you're interested in joining our collective and helping to bring third world issues to the airwaves. Third World View can be heard every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WORT, your community radio.